Hello, everybody, and welcome to the series premiere of the Fan Experience Podcast. I am your host, Mike Katos, joined by my co-host, Rick Molina. Fan Experience Podcast is the podcast that gives sports fans a different platform to voice their opinions about their favorite teams, their favorite sports, and share their fan experiences. Everybody has a story about that one iconic moment that really got them hooked on their favorite team and things that they've experienced in the stadium, watching at home, watching with friends, watching with families, you know, forming bonds with other people over sports. You know, my co-host Rick, you know, we met at a Mets game 10 years ago. And, you know, it's, you know, we've been friends ever since. And now we're sitting here hosting this podcast for you to come on and share your experiences, you know, and we're excited to hear all the different stories that you guys have and all the, you know, all the moments that you've shared, you know, with everybody that's close to you. The producers of this podcast is Playing the Field. We are Playing the Field is a sports fan community network. In addition to having this podcast that gives fans a voice to share their experiences, we also have a dating app available now in a beta version that helps singles find other sports fans. The web app is available at playthefielddating.com. If you join now with promo code FANEXPERIENCE, it's 100% free while it's still in beta. And you will also receive extra perks for signing up early as an early adopter. I'm going to just bring you on to Rick, and Rick's going to share a few thoughts.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fan Experience. Thank you for viewing tonight. It's our first show. We're real excited to have you on. And like Mike was saying, this podcast is about you, the fans, the experience of being a fan. You know, when I think about being a sports fan, I think about the unifying force that sports is. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you know, what team you root for. Sports unifies us all. You know, Mike talks about how we met. You know, he's a Met fan. I got invited to a game by a cousin of his. And that's how we met. And we were just sitting there rooting for the teams. I was rooting against the Mets. I don't even remember who they were playing yet, but I remember we were rooting against them. And we just started up talking about baseball, and somehow we were talking about football. Before you knew it, we started a fantasy league. And 10 years later, we're doing a broadcast together. And that's what sports does. And what we want to do with this podcast is have you share your experiences, the ups and downs of being a sports fan. I think we can all speak to the fact that, you know, being a sports fan has its high moments and its low moments. You know, as a Yankee fan, 04 was the lowest moment you can get. You know, when I think about those times that we were winning the World Series in the late 90s and the early 2000s, you know, I'm thinking about that 125-win season. I'm thinking about, you know, the Brocious homer. I'm thinking about all those moments as a Yankee fan. And it lets us hope and lets us dream. You know, as football fans, you know, the NFL drafts every year, and every year we look forward to seeing that fifth-round pick. Who's it going to be? Is he going to be that next star linebacker? Is he going to be that future quarterback that we have? And that's what sports really does. It just brings us all together. And it, you know, you have such great moments. I mean, there's so many moments to share. You know, there's so many moments where you meet a new friend like me did. You might meet your future Mr. and Mrs. You know, MVP, as we like to say. You might meet a friend that's going to last forever. I mean, sports allows us to enjoy those moments, whether it be at a game, at a bar, at a barbecue, what have you. You know, this is what this podcast is about. We want to hear those stories. We want regular people like yourselves to share them with us and, you know, tell us how it's made a difference in your life. And that's what this podcast is about. So, you know, we look forward to bringing this on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We look forward to hearing your stories. We look forward to sharing our stories. Welcome to the show. And, you know, speaking of sports memories, I think that day, Mike, we met, there was like a rainstorm or something like that. And we were sitting in like the lounge. And I remember you just asked me, he's like, man, are you into fantasy football? And I'd never done a fantasy football league in my life. And I'm like, yeah, sure, no worries. And a week later, you know, we're having a big fantasy football party in your house. I think we were out there till like 10 at night or something like that. It was like a Draft or something like that.
It was a long one. Yeah, that's why I think we went to the online ones after that.
Yeah,
I think it was a 6-hour draft, and all the online ones we were done in an hour and a half. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, we were having a good time. You know, throwing back a couple of beers, and you know, everyone was having fun. You know, so I mean, I would love to do it again. You know, but it's a little harder now, older. You know, more responsibilities. You know, not everyone can get together, so. Now we just do the online drafts, which is fun as well. But yeah, 10 years ago, and you know, we ended up going in on a, you know, season ticket, well, like a partial season ticket package. Had a blast, you know. I think it was like 10 games, 13 games. You had the chugger, you know.
Everybody's had the chugger. You can't forget the chugger. That guy in the upper deck chugging beers every inning. You know, yeah. Those are the things that when you go to a game, man, those are the things you see. Those are the things you remember. You know, it's,
yeah. Well, we got some comments coming in. Yeah, we got this is some.
Well, we'll talk about the Bills in due time. We'll get to them. But that's what we want to hear from you folks. You know, as this show progresses and as we grow and as we grow the base, we want to hear from you. Tell us your stories. Tell us your experiences. You know. The highs and lows, anything you could possibly think of when, as it relates to sports, tell us. Because again, I always say it's a great unifying force. And in a world today where we have so much going on and we're just, you know, every day it's something new that we wake up to, whether it's, you know, something happening here or something happening there. You know, I think that we can all use a baseball game, which is coming up in a couple of days. We can all use some preseason football. We can all get ready for the NBA bubble coming up. If you're a hockey fan, you know, the NHL. You know, I think as 2020 sort of rolls along, I think we're all due for, you know, just a night out of watching some sports, commiserating with our friends, having a couple of beers, barbecues, what have you, and just sort of, you know, having a good time and just bring us back to a sense of normalcy. That's what it is. And we can, you know, share those thoughts and those experiences with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's something about the sports, you know, that just everybody can relate on. And, you know, it really doesn't matter, you know, your profession, economic status, race, gender, you know, at the end of the day, when you're at the ballpark, when we can go back to the ballpark, that is, but even at a bar or a restaurant, you're watching it around fellow fans and you don't know them from the hole in the wall and you're sitting there high-fiving them, hugging them and, you know, just all experiencing the moments together. And it's just, you know, it just comes natural when it comes with sports. So, yeah, we are excited to have sports finally coming back after 4 months. We definitely want to make sure that everyone stays safe. You know, that's the priority, to make sure everyone's safe, healthy. But we want them back, and the players want to be back playing as well. So, you know, hopefully with in the next 2 days, you know, we're off and running. And, you know,
100%.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say 100%, man. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on that. You know, like I said, I can't wait to watch Yankees Nationals, and then it's Giants Tigers, you know, for the opener on Thursday night. And, you know, it's going to be great. Like I've said before, I think the Yankees are going to win the World Series, but that's just, we'll get to that another time. But for tonight, you know, just share these thoughts with you.
Well, if they let Aaron Judge bat with 3 outs and hit home runs, they'll win the World Series.
Come on, man. I mean, look, Girardi was, you know, letting the guy.
No, of course, it's a preseason game, and they only have a few, you know, and they wanted to get the pitch count. I get it. You know, it's just funny to see.
Oh, 100%, yeah. But that's, you know? Hey, listen, you know, baseball's got to change. I mean, we've talked about that, you know, so that they're incorporating new things into the game. That's pretty cool, man. I'm all with it. You know, whatever is changing the game, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it was just because of this COVID thing and the shortened season, the shortened, you know, restart of spring training, whatever you want to call it, summer training camp. Okay, so now we will be bringing on a guest. Joining us today, we have a special guest. He is the undrafted rookie free agent that has just signed with the New York Giants. He is a defensive back out of Hampton University, Christian Angulo.
How you guys doing?
Christian, how are you?
All right, it's Rick and Mike. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm blessed. How you guys doing?
Doing good. We're doing great. Good, man. Well, listen, thanks for coming on tonight. So, you know, we've been reading a lot about you. So tell us where you're from. You're originally from Tampa, Miami. I mean, is that where you grew up?
Yeah, originally born in Miami, Florida. Okay. Grew up there until about second grade and then moved down up here to Tampa.
All right. Well, that's nice. And when did you start playing ball? You know, tell our viewers, like, when did you sort of start, you know, finding that bug to start playing ball? I mean, was that your first sport, or was there any other sport besides football?
Well, I'll tell you a little backstory.
Go ahead.
Being from Miami and, you know, a predominant culture of, you know, Hispanics.
Yes.
Many different countries. Me personally, I'm Dominican, Cuban, and Nicaragua. So my first sport was baseball.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Prevalent within the Spanish community, you can say. So growing up, I've always played baseball. You know, never made an all-star team for that. I'm still hurt about that. You know, so played baseball as an adolescent. We moved to Tampa. I decided to take on a new venture, trying flag football. And it was much more exciting. It came natural to me, the game. And, you know, that's pretty much when I left baseball behind. And, you know, started to develop a passion for the game of football.
Now, were you a corner when you first started? Did you play all different? Or were you wide receiver? Did you try quarterback? Like, tell us how many different positions did you play when you first started playing the game?
Yeah, Pop Warner played a variety of positions. Played wide receiver, defensive end, cornerback. Growing up, like as I got older, getting into high school, I stuck to wide receiver. You know, pretty much played wide receiver my freshman year and sophomore year in high school. And I guess you can say the kind of offense that we ran wasn't the spread or air it out type of team. It was kind of like a wishbone offense, a heavier run based offense. And that's when my father suggested to me that I should move to the defensive side of the ball if I plan on pursuing my career beyond high school football. And being a bigger sized corner, it's very appealing. You know, it was very appealing to colleges and things of that nature. So my junior year, I ended up making a move to cornerback. And, you know, thank God we're here now. So,
right. God bless.
Yeah, Mike. Absolutely. It's amazing. And, you know, I have to say, you know, with, you know, you going to Cincinnati and, you know, just trying to get going in Cincinnati, and, you know, you didn't really have too many opportunities, and moving over to Hampton and then truly shining over there. You know, I admire the perseverance of you going over there and really showing what you can do, you know. And, you know, even with just that 1 year there, you know, the Giants see something in you to sign, you know, and that must feel great. You know, we're rooting for you, you know, for sure. And, you know, talk to us about that, you know, when the Giants came calling.
Yeah. Going through those trials and tribulations, you never really understand what's going on until you get to where God is taking you and you look back and you look at the lessons you've learned. And I wasn't the most humble individual coming out of high school, you know, so getting to Cincinnati, placing certain expectations on myself, not meeting them, not getting the playtime that I thought I would receive. You know, that humbled me in itself, coming from high school. You know, the spotlight is pretty much on you. You know what I mean? During my time at Cincinnati, learned how to become a student of the game, learned how to take notes on my opponent, study my opponent, understand how important your work ethic has to be understand how hard, you know, you truly have to, you know, take yourself to another level and separate yourself if you want to separate yourself from your competition. And that's something that I can say I learned in my time at Cincinnati that I brought with me to Hampton University. And thankfully, when I arrived at Hampton, I was much more humbled and came in with a different approach. Didn't try to be anybody that I wasn't, just wanted to work hard. You know, work hard and prove to my teammates that, you know, I'm deserving, that I'm deserving to be out here as one of the 11 guys on defense, and that I'm somebody that you guys can count on, you know?
Yeah, I completely admire that. You know, definitely that hard work, and, you know, even through those trials and tribulations, you know, you sat there and you were just learning, you know, and trying to improve your game, and it's paying off. You know, I mean, now you're signed to a deal with the New York Football Giants, you know, who have a very storied history on defense, you know, some great defenses that the Giants have. You know, so let's take it back a little bit. You know, like when growing up, you know, did you have a favorite player that you looked up to and you tried to play around?
Yeah, it's funny you ask me that. Obviously, having played the majority wide receiver before converting to cornerback, I looked up or modeled my game. I remember being in high school at practice and pretending I'm DeSean Jackson.
Okay. Or
pretending I'm DeAnthony Thomas. So I can say I definitely looked at those guys on the offensive side of the spectrum. And nowadays, I'm more so, as a corner, I'm watching guys' techniques. You know, seeing what different things they have in their toolbox. And, you know, one of the guys' games I can admire now as a cornerback defensively is Jaire Alexander from the Green Bay Packers, just because I feel like he has a variety of things in his toolbox. And as a cornerback, just like the wide receiver is going to try to set you up and may have different moves in his toolbox, it has to be the same thing as a defensive back. You know, you can't be predictable, you know? So those are some of the things I watch for today, I can say.
Nice. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jaire Alexander is great, you know, great up and coming talent, you know, and DeSean Jackson, you might have a chance to go one-on-one with him, you know, playing in that division, you know, and he's got a lot of history in that stadium over there too, you know, with that miracle at the Meadowlands. We don't like to live.
Yeah. So Chris, tell us how you've been preparing. I mean, you got signed as an undrafted rookie free agent, obviously, when you got the call. So tell us a little bit about what the preparation has been going as the season's come up. Obviously we have the whole issue with COVID and social distancing. So tell the fans and the viewers, like, some of the things you've been doing to prepare for the season to get yourself ready for an NFL season coming up.
Yeah, obviously with COVID being the circumstance right now, we've had to do the majority of the offseason virtually via Zoom calls. So it's given us a chance to kind of step back from the physical realm and understand and absorb the game mentally, and truly understand the game before even taking a step onto that practice field. And that's one thing that I can say was very beneficial about this time period. As far as the physical preparation, thankfully they were able to send me weight room gear. So just have been working out in the garage, conditioning, just making sure I stay on top of things as far as that nature. But this time has given us an opportunity to truly understand the game and fundamentals and techniques and our assignments. And that's something that has definitely benefited me, I can say.
Well, that's good to hear, man. I mean, yeah, you're going to have a lot of challenges coming into the league with all these, especially in that division. You know, you got Michael Gallup, and you got Amari Cooper with the Cowboys over there. and a whole host of wide receivers in the NFC East. But tell us now, you're preparing to come up to New York tomorrow, is that right?
Lord willing, yes, sir.
So what's entail? Like they're gonna, you know, let kind of the fans know like what's gonna happen. Like they're gonna come get you. You obviously check in, and then is it to the practice field tomorrow? I mean, what, you know, kind of give us a sense of what's gonna take place in the next couple of days for you.
Yeah, truthfully, they haven't addressed anything further. Pretty much, they just sent me the flight information and things of that nature. We haven't addressed anything further.
Now, let me ask you this. You're coming up the NFL. You know, you're a rookie. Anybody you're eager to meet, you're going to be excited to meet, you're going to get a little, you know, awestruck when you see him as you walk into that locker room?
Man.
Anybody in particular on that team you want to say, hey, man, I can't wait to meet him?
Nah, one thing I can say, God's grace is amazing. Like, man, that's really all I can say. Like, it's a blessing, but I can't say I'm going to, you know, be fanned out meeting anybody like that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm just – really very thankful.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I guess you can say it's surreal at times, but,
yeah,
you know, me being big on my faith and, you know, staying in my word and staying prayerful and seeing the things that God has blessed me with, you know, as long as I remain faithful, I know he'll continue to bless me. So that's really how I feel about, you know, things that are going on. I mean, I really don't make anything bigger than what it is. You know what I mean?
But that's a good attitude to have, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So let's, so you said that, football wasn't your first sport. So did you grow up watching baseball, you know, and, you know, through your like family or, you know, what teams did you like when you were younger?
Yeah. Man, my memory is bad, but I want to say that my father placed me in baseball. And, you know, from there, we just continuously worked at it. But I can't say that I sat there and, I mean, I've been to baseball games and I've watched them on television, but me personally, it's not really as exciting as for me, you know? So it's like I never was really in love with baseball. It was just something I did as an adolescent.
Gotcha. And talk to us about, you know, like just some bonds that you formed, you know, just playing the sport or, you know, or watching the sport, you know, just people that you've come across, you know, whether it's, you know, from when you were younger or, you know, who do you stay close to as far as, you know, people that you played with when you were younger or a teenager or through college, you know, and the bonds that you formed?
Yeah. Within sports in general, especially team sports, you're definitely going to form bonds with different individuals. And that's also something that I'm thankful for. Throughout the years, I formed many bonds, even stemming back from, you know, high school, with guys that I'm still friends with, that with guys that I can still reach out to and converse with. And even more recently, just being at Hampton University, each and every one of those guys, those are my brothers, you know, and they know that working hard with them every day, just interacting with them every day on the day-to-day when we were in the dorms, just the bonds that you build, man, you know, I'm just very thankful because it's genuine love when I'm around those guys. And I can truly say that Hampton was a family environment. And that was the first time I felt that in my career, you know, as far as on that level of just being a close-knit group. And I'm very thankful that I met those guys. Those guys can reach out to me at any time, and I still talk to a handful on a regular basis. So,
you know,
that's
I wanted
great.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask, what, I know you left Cincinnati. What made the decision to choose Hampton? You could have gone to other schools, obviously, but what was it about Hampton that you said this is the place for me? Chris?
Yeah. The thing that made me go to Hampton University, their head coach is Coach Prenti, and Coach Prenti coached at Cincinnati when I was a freshman. Like I said, I went through a lot of trials and tribulations, and you know, he would always stay on top of me. And when I made my decision, I wanted to go to a place where I felt like the coach had my best interest, not only as a player, but would just appreciate me as a young man and the man that I am, you know?
I got it. And go ahead, Mike.
No, I was losing it, but I'm back there.
And I was, you know, well, that's good. And I was also going to ask, so you're coming up, obviously, to the Giants. What are your goals for the 2020-2021 season? You know, knock on wood, God willing, you know, we have a season. But what are your goals? Obviously, making the team. But what do you, as your first year as an NFL, as an NFL player, what are you looking to accomplish this year in 2020-2021? Chris, you hear me?
Truthfully, I can say. Are you able to hear me? It's breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, we got you.
We got you. Good.
You guys can
hear me? We can hear you.
Yep. Yeah, we got you.
You guys can hear me clearly?
Yeah. Perfect.
Truthfully, just being the best version of myself each day, doing the things that I need to do to make sure I can perform to the best of my ability, just as far as maintenance on my body, you know, mentally just staying sharp. But aside from that, just being the best version of myself.
That's good to hear, man. Well, listen, I think you're going to do great up here, and it's going to be – you're gonna have a lot of fun up here.
Mike. Yeah, we're rooting for you, and you know, congratulations again, and thank you very much for coming on and joining us on our series premiere of the Fan Experience Podcast. Yeah, we're truly honored to have you on, and the best of luck to you going forward with the Giants.
Yeah, man, all the best. We're gonna be rooting hard for you, man. We want to see you out there on Sundays.
Take it easy.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. It's nice to meet you guys. And God bless, man.
God bless you, man. Thank you, Chris.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Chris Angulo, undrafted rookie defensive back from New York Giants. Listen, I think he's got a shot of making that team, man. I mean, that defense was, as you know, atrocious last year. And 6'2", 190, can cover. He's long. I think he's got a shot. We're going to be rooting for him.
The work ethic, you know, blown away, you know, the, you know, everything he's gone through with, you know, going through college and not really getting too much of a shot at Cincinnati, moving over to Hampton and truly shining, you know, like I've seen all the, you know, the highlights for what he was doing there. It's, you know, it's amazing. And that was just 1 year.
Yes, yeah, so you can imagine.
And the Giants saw something in just 1 year of tape, really.
So you can imagine if he would have gotten an opportunity in Cincinnati, when he could have been that, you know, in that conference over there. I mean, we both know the Giants had issues on defense. They need some, you know, with the issues they're having with defensive backs, obviously, with, you know, DeAndre Baker and all that. If he can come in, man, and just, you know, find the spot there on special teams and do some damage, you know, I think the sky's the limit for the kid. And he's a good kid, man. He works hard. He is the future. He's work hard. He's very, very humble. And, you know, I'm a Jets fan, diehard Jets fan. I bleed gangrene, but I'm going to be watching him on Sunday, hoping the best for him.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, like, yeah, I root for all the New York teams, you know, and even the Bills, you know.
Well, that's because, you know, Jackie's a Bills fan. But you listen, if you bleed gangrene, you cannot root for the Giants. It just can't happen, man. Like, you got, listen, now's the time and this is the moment. You got to choose gangrene, man. That's it.
Well, they're number one. They've always been number one. But, you know, it's, you know, I just root for New York. But baseball is a different story. You know, I can't, I can't double dip in baseball. It's Mets and the heck with the Yankees. Yeah, so let's
do some news and notes.
News and notes. All right, so first and foremost, you know, MLB, we touched on it, starts in a couple of days. Yankees Nationals, you know, they're going to kick it all off. And you got the Yankees winning the World Series this year.
I got the Yankees. Yes, I do. I mean, look, man, yeah, Judge, you know, just to go over really, Judge, Stanton, DJ LeMahieu's back. I think Gleyber Torres has a breakout year. The pitching is stacked. Gerrit Cole, Tanaka is going to come back from that shot he took from Stanton. I just don't see any other team out there beating them. Maybe the Dodgers out there, but I really don't. They're just a juggernaut really to explode. I mean, listen, you can never count out the Red Sox. You can never count out the Houston Astros. But I think this is, you know, with a shortened season, 60-game sprint to the finish, it's the Yankees to win or fail incredibly.
Yeah, well, my Mets have not had the greatest summer training camp, whatever they're calling it. Summer camp. Yeah, I mean, they are playing their typical July ball, you know, yeah.
With no fans.
So they definitely realize it's July. Let's just say that. You know, so it's pretty much business as usual for them. They're picking up right where they would in July in the first place. You know, the Astros had a couple bean balls the other day.
People haven't forgotten, man. People have not forgotten. I don't care if there's going to be fans in the stands.
It's been a long offseason, but they haven't forgotten. Absolutely not.
Going to get away with what they got away with. I mean, like, look, you and I have spoken about this. The winners are obviously them, because there are going to be no fans in the stands. They will not have to endure the abuse and the sheer, you know, just every night going to the ballpark, just getting hammered and called cheapskate, all that. I think when fans come back, I think they're going to let them have it. But I think the initial reaction, that initial sort of anger and ferocity, they're going to be able to avoid that. They're going to be able to escape that. So, you know, will they win a World Series? No. But they'll be able to escape the wrath of the fans this year, at least for 2020.
Yep. Yeah, they definitely are going to luck out with that as far as that goes. And, you know, so let's change gears a little bit. Yep. So we got a couple other sports. You know, the next week we have – the NBA coming back, mm-hmm. and they just reported that they're since July 13th, out of 346 tests, zero COVID positive results. You know, so the bubble seems to be working. You know, and obviously these players can't be around their families. You know, can't really go out. You know, they have all the accommodations right there on the reservation and stuff, but. You know, it's definitely not your professional athlete's, you know, MO to, you know, to just stay quarantined and stay inside all the time. So talk to us about the bubble a little bit.
Oh, it's amazing. The NBA always gets it right. You know, it was in the middle of March when COVID first happened. Adam Silver, he cancels that game with the Utah Jazz. I mean, you can remember the reaction of Mark Cuban when he's sitting in the stands going, Silver just canceled the season. He's like, what? They always finally get it right. They set up this bubble. Mind you, they said they picked Florida because at the time Florida wasn't a hotspot for COVID. You know, there was no explosion of cases. It was warm down there and everybody thought they escaped that. Now they're in the middle of a hotspot. They set up this bubble and it's the safest place to be in Florida. They're testing all the time. All the players are. Listen, it's not their typical lifestyle, but for the most part, listen, they're content out there. They're going to be able to sit in the stands and root for each other. And again, the NBA just gets it right, and it's going to be an atmosphere where they'll be able to play. They'll be able to play freely, not have to worry about getting sick. And as long as they can maintain that discipline of staying in that bubble, I think it's going to be a successful way. It's going to be show the way forward for other teams, other leagues, how to sort of, you know, how to put together a sort of a bubble type atmosphere for their athletes that they can feel safe and they can perform at high levels. And, you know, LeBron James, when you hear his comments, he's happy down there. He's ready to roll, man. He's like ready to be let out of a cage, just ready to annihilate anybody who comes out there. And so I think it's great. I think it's going to be fun. I think, like I said, just like baseball, 60-game sprint to the finish is going to be different. You're going to be able to hear them cursing at refs. You're going to be able to hear them calling out defenses. You know, things that you wouldn't hear with the normal fans out there, you're going to be able to hear that. So I think it's going to be great. I think it's the Lakers' title to lose, followed by the Clippers. And so we'll see. Some people have said the Miami Heat might make a run. At the end of the day, this is LeBron James's league, and it's his title to win. You know, and as far as MVP goes, he's it, bar none. He's the best player in the game. He's the best player on the team. No one comes. There's LeBron James. There's everybody else, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some pretty good talent out there that could give him a run for his money. Younger talent, you know, than LeBron, but you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, but yeah, this bubble is certainly working, and there's a league out there that could probably take a couple of tips from the NBA, because the NFL just announced that so far 95 players have tested positive for COVID since they've started testing.
Well, here's the thing about that. You know, these guys aren't in a bubble per se. They're still working out. They're still outside of the confines of the league, you know, the team facilities. I think once they get into the team facilities and once they start doing the constant testing and have all eyes on them, I think those numbers are going to come down. Let's hope the number come down. They're not going to be playing any preseason games, you know, but my concern is that when these guys, you know, if these guys get in the bubble and there's still an issue with COVID, I mean, you're tackling, you're sweating. I mean, you're all over each other. Is it going to have an impact? I mean, are we still going to have a season? I mean, we still don't know. I mean, college football, we're still unsure if they're going to have a season. I mean, they're right now, they're full steam ahead, but we don't know. So I think the thing now for the players is to get into the bubble, get into their collective facilities, start getting tested, start getting used to that sort of environment. And, hopefully they'll bring those numbers down and then we can get some football going on, because, man, I cannot wait for the 2020 NFL season to start. There's a lot of storylines, man. You know, Cam Newton and the Patriots.
Tom Brady with the Bucks.
With Gronk. You got the new stadium out there.
In
Vegas going on out there. You know, California is a hotspot. Who knows if they're going to play over there. And so there's a lot of storylines in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger is coming back. This could probably be his last year. So there's a lot of storylines to play out, and I want to see how it plays out, man, because it's going to be one of those type of years. And let's just hope that once they get into the facilities and once they get with the teams, that they'll be able to stay healthy and safe.
Yeah, we'll also have people's reactions to the Rams' new uniforms and a new logo. And
you know, here's the thing, man. Change is the law of life. Like, you got to change, dude. Like, you know, accept change.
But it looks like the Chargers. It's all Chargers colors, so it's just
a Ram in there somewhere. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but if you're going to play, I mean, I guess, you know, they could – well, no, now they play in different stadiums, right?
No, they're for right now, but eventually they're going to share that big stadium out there in L.A.
One more year, right?
Yeah, one more year, but, you know, yeah, we're all ready for some football, Erica, 100%. But, look, just so we can get a sense of normalcy back, start some fantasy football leagues, get people out and about again, getting on those jerseys. You know, it's going to be a hell of a year, man. And hopefully, you know, we're New York guys, so we're Jets fans. Hopefully Adam Gase and Sam Darnold and Greg Williams and Joe Douglas and the crew out there in Florham Park can turn it around, man, because this is a make or break year for Adam Gase. I don't care what anybody tells me. They either get to the playoffs or he's got to go.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, they need to assess that halfway through the season. You know, if they're on the wrong path, they should have bring down the hatchet right then and there.
Yeah, just, you know, cut cords and done.
Joe Douglas won't do it. He won't fire him midseason.
Well, no, I don't think he'll fire him midseason. But if they don't go 10-6 and they don't make a, you know, a playoff with the extra wild card they have, he shouldn't be the coach of the team.
Hey, no complaints here. I didn't think he should be the coach of the team 2 years ago when they signed him.
Yeah. But another thing that happened today, and you saw when we got wind of this, was Antonio Brown announcing his retirement.
Yep.
For the third time. You know, listen, I think for Antonio Brown, I think it's good for him, man. If he really is retiring, have a chance to get his life back into focus, get things straightened out on that end, and, you know, leave the game behind. I mean, look, he's set his mark in the league. The guy's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. I mean, what he did in, you know, the last 6 or 7 seasons is just remarkable. But he's got to work on things outside of football, you know, work on himself, his family. And I think retirement is the best thing for him. You know, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. You know, he really should have just played his last down in the NFL because, you know, it's just it's not right for him right now. You know, I think he's had a couple of, you know, a couple of hits that, you know, have stayed with him. You know,
Montez Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's time for him to go. I mean, last year was ridiculous. I mean, it was just a constant show. You know, it was just showing off here, showing off there, you know, forcing his way out of Oakland, you know, even forcing his way out of the Patriots. Well, he wasn't trying to, but Belichick is just like, you know, we've had enough. We've had enough of this. We can use you for a game and then you're out. You know, it's not, there's no right fit for him. And he really should not be playing, at least for a year. And then, you know, we'll see, you know, what next year brings. You know, he's come out of retirement twice already. So it's, you know, but this year, I think he needs to at least take a year off, if not forever.
Yeah, I just think right now the last thing Antonio Brown needs is football. You know, I think, you know, people make the argument, oh, bring him around the team and he's around the camaraderie. Well, you saw what happened last year with the Raiders, man. If it was the issue with the helmet, then it was issue with the Mike Mayock, the foot. I mean,
the foot before the helmet. I think the foot was before the helmet.
And it's just, where he got the cryo freeze and all that. I mean, it's one after another with him. And I don't know what a team out there, I mean, look, with all the talent in the world that he has, I don't know what team out there is going to sign him to a contract and just put up, you know, with all the baggage and all the nonsense that comes with him. And especially if, let's say you're a team with a new coach or a second year coach. I mean, do you really want to, you know, put a new coach or a second year coach through that? I don't think so. You know, so the, like I said, the best thing, right, at least for Antonio Brown, for him is to retire, get his life in order. And then maybe in a year or two, if he wants to come back to the league.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big name, retired today too, Michael Bennett, long time defensive player. So they also just announced that, you know, no preseason games.
I wish you would ask Chris this, how that's going to affect them, but I think that's going to have more an effect for the rookies and the undrafted free agents, because they're not going to have a chance to showcase their skills. So we'll see how that plays out for guys like him. But I think for the older guys, listen, they don't play anyway. They don't even care. I think this hurts the owners more because obviously they're not making any money off games. So that's my opinion on it. Look, if they play two preseason games, I'd be fine with it. Four is just way too many. Let's see if it works. They try it out. Look, during these times, you got to try different things. And I agree. This is one of them. I have no problem with them not having preseason games.
Do you think we're going to have kickoff in September?
Yes, I think that the precautions that the league will take once they get these guys in their facilities, I think they'll do whatever it takes to have to play. And I think they're going to look to the NBA, you know, to see how they sort of model that, to say, let's incorporate it this way. Now, now let's say a couple of guys get COVID and they get sick. You know, are the players going to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this isn't safe, we're not playing? You know, that's another thing you got to think about, you know, with the players saying no. So there are a lot of variables, you know, from here to kickoff in September. But as of right now, if you ask me, I think they're going to play.
Now, what are they, you know, are they doing something special as far as like practices? Are they trying to, you know, practice in different facilities like offense and defense and special teams, you know, because you know that they have different, you know,
100%.
Different facilities for some of these teams, you know, to spread out, you know, the different factions of their teams.
That's a good question. But here's the thing, though. Let's say you spread them out, right? You have on one field, you have special teams. On another field, you have offense, you have defense. At the end of the day, when you come to these games, man, there's going to be 53 guys on the sideline. You're going to have coaches. You're going to have staff there. There's going to be a million people on that sideline. So there's no way to avoid sort of mixed, you know, coming together. You know, that's the other issue. So, you know, we've got to see how it plays out. But, you know, as of right now, they're going to play. You know, I just think they're going to play. I don't think they're going to find a way to play. I don't think they're going to not want to play.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got somebody that really wanted to talk about hockey over here. It's the It's the real sport. But yeah, hockey's getting started as well in August, and they're going right to the playoffs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, obviously, the hottest team in hockey, I think it was who's the hottest team at the time playing? Was it the Islanders? It was the Islanders. Not sure. But, yeah, hockey as well. Look, all these leagues are going to have issues when it comes to COVID and it comes to and here's the other thing. I mean, my understanding is hockey going to be the bubbles in Canada? Are they going to let American players go up there and play? I mean, Americans right now can't go into Canada. So that's the other thing.
Yeah. You know? Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we touched on it the you know, last time we spoke, not on the air, but, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays are, you know, they have to find a new stadium. And, yeah. In America, because they're not allowed to play in Toronto. And yeah, I believe all of the hockey games are being played in Canada. And there's a good amount of Canadians that are playing, you know, but I don't know. Yeah, but I'm sure there's definitely Americans, and I don't really know how that's going to work.
Yeah, man. I mean, are the Canadian government going to, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing, man.
Unless they went up there early and they've been just hanging out up there, I don't know.
That's a great question, but you know, that's interesting to find out if the Canadian government's going to let American hockey players into Canada. You know, it'd be interesting to see that, but who knows. And apparently that the Islanders are the team to beat, according to one of our fans out here.
Yeah. Where are they going to play? They closed down the Coliseum, and they're not really playing at Barclays anymore. They're supposed to be playing in Belmont, but I don't even know if it's ready yet.
No, it's funny. I drove by there the other day. I didn't see it ready. So
how's it look?
It was coming along, but I think it was Friday. It was just coming along, but it didn't look to me like it was ready. And I was just driving by. So,
I've seen the renderings. It looks pretty cool. When it's all said and done, definitely going to want to take a trip out there. And, I've never actually went to a hockey game.
And we got to do that for the fan experience. We gotta take a trip to a hockey game and show it.
Yeah, we'll give some people some tickets over here. We're dedicated listeners. So please subscribe, share this hashtag fan experience, share it to all your social medias. And, we're going to start giving out some giveaways, to those dedicated fans out there.
100%, what we want more than anything else is for more of you guys to listen in, more of you guys to put some quotes up there, whatever you want to hear, we'll talk about, we'll discuss, we'll talk about experiences and share those with you while we're on live.
Yeah, thank you for being so engaging and putting in your comments, showing love for our guest, Christian Angulo, great kid, very humble, very hardworking, and me being a Mets fan and a Jets fan, I'm always rooting for the underdog. So I'm going to be rooting for him to, to make that team and really have a nice career in the NFL.
Yes. Good. I was going to say to all our friends too.
He's got a great attitude, he deserves a shot.
Yeah. He's a great kid. He comes from a great family. I know his uncle. He's like my brother. He's a great guy. For all you guys who are listening tonight and are going to start following us, follow Christian, root for him, cheer for him, support him in any way you can, because I think he's got a great, like Mike said, he's got a bright future in the National Football League. So, all the best to you, Christian. Thanks for coming on tonight. So I guess that wraps it up for tonight. This was a great first show, Mike.
Great series premiere. Great talks. Great guest. Everyone out there, join us again on Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, YouTube and Facebook, same place. And you could follow us on Instagram at Fan Experience Pod. And you could also follow Playing the Field at Play the Field Now on all major social media channels. And please go check out playthefielddating.com, the sports fans dating app, and go and find your MVP. Put in promo code Fan Experience so you came from here.
We'll see you all on Thursday night, 9 p.m.
Have a good night, everybody.